O come, Emmanuel, God with us.
Welcome, Southside family, and welcome online. If everybody would just turn and give a little wave to our family online that might not be able to make it. And I see a lot of familiar faces that haven't seen in a while, and welcome visitors online as well. What a blessing it is to be together as a family on this day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how many people here have an app on their phone or device called YouVersion? Anybody have that app? It's a wonderful app that you can have on your phone or tablet or laptop. And there's many different plans that you can do in that app. And I'd like to recommend this is the Bible Project. We've used some of their things here at Southside from the pulpit and from class, but this is just a wonderful plan, a 358-day plan, so you can be in the Lord's Word. Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh, so what better way to learn more about God and about Jesus than to stay in His Word every day. As we begin our service, would you bow with me in prayer? Our majestic, wonderful, loving Father in heaven, we come to you, Father, today, this morning, thanking you in your marvelous wisdom and your plan that you gave Jesus, your Son, to be a gift to us. Help us, Father, to share Jesus, that gift, in our lives with those we meet. Help us, Father, to stay in your Word, to learn, to grow, just as Christ grew from that baby and gave himself for us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, thank you so much for that great love that you knew from the beginning what the plan was. And even though you sweat drops of blood, you followed your Father's will for us. In spirit, thank you for indwelling us. Thank you for hovering above the waters and breathing life into the creation Thank you for being a guide to us. Help us to realize the great gift that you are to indwell us and to lead us. We pray that our service today, that we would worship from our hearts and in truth, and that it would be a beautiful fragrance to you. We love you so much, and it's through Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'll be reading a few scriptures, starting with Isaiah 7:14, which could be found on page 669 of the Pew Bible. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then from Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, found on page 575 of the Pew Bible. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And then Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that can be found on page 902. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
Silent night.
Mm-hmm. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 1, verse 26, and going through verse 56. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the word would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Magnificat based on the Song of Mary. I think we need to stand for this song, starting with the sopranos. And sopranos, please remember, you start by yourselves on each stanza. My, okay.
Lord, my.
From the book of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we'll read through verse 25. We have the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Would you please join me in going before our God and Father in prayer? Lord God, Almighty Abba, Father, we thank you for the many blessings that we have in this country, and we thank you for the most precious gift that ever we receive, the gift of the birth of your Son, that today we celebrate his birth, the hope for glory. God, I pray for myself that the things of this world, the material, the covetousness in this world don't distract me from serving you, God. Pray for the people in our family that dealing with physical illnesses, with suffering from loss in this season could be even harder on them, God. We know that you are with us and you promised to give us your peace, not like what the world has given us. So we pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering to be healed. God, we bring them before you. And I thank you for the family that we have here. And I pray that all the nations come to know how precious is the gift that through him, through his name, we are saved, the name of Jesus. And I like to read to my brothers and sisters here the Lord's Prayer recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in my native tongue, in Arabic, and it's well known for them, so I hope that these words won't make them wonder what he's talking about. So I'll be reading from book of Matthew in chapter 6, starting with verse 9 to the end of Lord's Prayer. فَصَلُّوا أَنْتُمْ مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ أَبَانَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لِيَتَقَدَّسْ إِسْمُكَ لِيَأْتِ مَلَكُوتُكَ لِتَكُنْ مَشِيئَتَكَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ كَمَا هِيَ فِي السَّمَاءِ خبزنا كفافنا أعطنا اليوم واغفر لنا ذنوبنا كما نغفر نحن للمذنبين إلينا ولا تدخلنا في تجربة لكن نجنا من الشرير لأن لك الملك والقوة والمجد إلى الأبد آمين. No better words to end the prayer with that. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
We'll be continuing our reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them, about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Hark! Priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said about through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene."
Sorry.
Before we get started, did everyone get a little packet to this morning? If you need one, raise your hand. We have people that will hand them out to you. Can't do the Lord's Supper without it, so gotta have it. Oh, I forgot my clicker. Oh, I knew I'd forget something. Gene, after Ben Kopis coached me on how to use this thing, and I forgot to grab it. Before I begin, I wanted to thank Jamal for his prayer. We love the words of the Lord's Prayer. It was his instruction to his disciples on how to pray. It's a beautiful prayer, but to hear it in Arabic was absolutely touching to me. It shows that God's word can be in every language, and everybody can pray to God. That was pretty special. When it comes to Christmas, of course, there are lots of traditions around Christmas. Probably one of the most contentious is, do you open presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Given our busy lives now, we sometimes have to split our time and do one family on Christmas Eve, another family on Christmas Day. We had one family who did their Christmas last week, so that's one. Another one is turkey or ham or roast beef on Christmas Day for the big meal. That's another big one. One of the ones growing up when I was a child was my grandfather came from German heritage, and he had a little tree in his little bungalow apartment. And if anybody heard about the pickle, yeah, that's a German tradition, the pickle ornament that's hung. It's hidden and tucked away. The first child who finds it upon arrival receives a nice big candy bar. So we always had to remind my dad, we have to get to Grandpa's early, you know, so that we could find it. Of course, one of the other traditions that I have up here on the screen is probably more related. People do it in their front yards, of course. Although some of the light battle stuff these days just amazes, but I'm always touched when people actually put up a creche or a manger scene like this, because it reminds people of what the season is truly about. And that's always great. And the story is told of a church that had a manger scene similar to this, and it had started to show its signs of wear. It had been put out in all the weather, and finally had time to be retired, and they needed to purchase a new one. This church was known for putting this particular creche scene up in their front yard. And they had heard that there was a company in Germany that made some of the best lifelike full-sized manger scenes. And so they did some fundraising and bake sales and things like that and raised the money and put in the order for the German manger scene. And these are full-size figurines now, so this was a pretty substantial investment. And eventually the shipping container arrived, and they unpacked it and started unpacking the crates. And as they unpacked the crates, they had all the pieces that they ordered, except there was one small box that they opened, and in it was a rooster. And they were scratching their heads. They said, somebody in Germany must have gotten a farm set mixed up with the manger scene. And so they made a call back to the company in Germany. And they asked, this is an odd thing. We received a rooster for our manger scene. And the kindly person, in very good English, told them, no, that's part of your manger scene. It sits on the top beam, and it's to remind us, next slide please, it's to remind us all that there was a time when a rooster crowed as Peter denied the Christ in the temple or in the courts of Herod. The minister of the church thanked him for the lesson. And the rooster went up on the beam of the manger scene. Next slide. For all the joy of this season, there is an eternal intersection here of a tradition. And what we all realize when we gather around this table is that the beginning of Christ's life had a clear, very definitive end. He came, and we're joyful that he came. But that joy is in the fact that he had to die. I've often talked about this and other times that I've done Lord's Supper talks where you have to wonder what that conversation was like in heaven when God talked to his son and said, "It is time." Being all-knowing, the Trinity knew. That's why he's often called the Man of Sorrows, I think, because he knew what was going to happen. The beauty of it, though, is it isn't just that he died. That's important because, as we symbolize in the bread and the fruit of the vine, it's the body and blood of Christ that's broken. But it's the fact that after 3 days, the power of God was displayed in the most magnificent way possible. Pushing aside a stone is pretty impressive because those stones were big. But the fact that Christ walked out of that tomb, that gives us great joy. Because we know that as wonderful at times our life can be, and as difficult at times that our life can be, sometimes as horrible as our life can be, it is but a short time. And when we leave this earth, those that are in Christ will spend eternity with him and with the Father. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took these symbols. He took bread of the Passover, he broke it, and he handed it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup. And after he had given thanks, he told his disciples, "Take and drink. This is my blood that is shed for you, the blood of the new covenant." Covenants were important to God, are important to God and important to Israel. It was very important that he said this, that this is the new agreement, the new philosophy, the new contract that I am setting with you. It's a contract sealed, signed in blood. So we are grateful. We are joyful that this day is celebrated by Christians, the birth of Jesus Christ, but we're mindful of what it ended up being and why he came. The salvation that came through his death on the cross, and the promise of eternal life that we have through his resurrection. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you now for this bread. We thank you for the symbol, the simple symbol that your Son gave us that signifies his body. We now realize why So much glory is due him. So much honor is due him. Why we praise his holy name, because he left your presence to come into this world. He left eternity to come into time, to dwell among us, to teach us, to heal us, to guide us, but most of all, to love us to the point that he gave up his life for us. And so we take this bread remembering the Lord Jesus. And we thank you from the very depths of our heart and soul for what he has done for us and that he loves us so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for the cup. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the covenant that was set in place by him in this simple meal and in his act of sacrifice and the blood that was shed on Calvary. And so we take it now mindful of the blessing that we have received that is beyond measure. The grace that covers us and overwhelms us, the mercy that you have shown us, and most of all, the love that you put on display so gloriously. Bless this fruit of the vine and us who take it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a brief word about the contribution. We don't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we got a wallet. We got a checkbook. We have Apple Pay. It's pretty simple to give. In light of the meal we just took, you can think of how much should I give? Empty the bank account. I'm not saying we can buy our way into heaven. That's not the point. But out of our hearts, we give. We should give, even hopefully get close to matching the gift of Christ. The thing is, we have these wonderful places to gather, to be a family. These places have needs, they have expenses, and those have to be covered. But then the other thing is, as this church so wonderfully does, they support so many other places that are trying to keep the gospel alive. Understand what I mean there. Keep the gospel alive. And to help spread it. And so, as we give to keep the lights on and the heat. On a day like today, thank you, God, for the heat. But also to spread his word. We have baskets here and in back, so if you would like to drop it in, please do so. And let us pray. Father, thank you so much for abundantly blessing us with so many things. We live in a country that has overwhelming prosperity. And yes, we are mindful of those who have little. And maybe that's a prod to those of us who have much to help balance the scales a bit. Most of all, we offer up our gifts for use in your kingdom, both here at Southside and to their sister congregations and to missions throughout the world. Bless these gifts now, Lord, and the givers that make their contribution to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's all be standing. Let's give joy to the Lord. Amen. Be seated, please.
Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, as we look through the scriptures, we see some unbelievable stories. You shaping this universe, putting stars in the sky, creating, God, and making life out of nothing, Holy God. We see you take a family and make it into a nation. We see giants slain. We see so many things, God, as we look through your scriptures that are amazing. But the most amazing thing of all is a baby laying in a manger, knowing that your son came to earth to dwell upon men, to teach us, to show us your way, to show us the right way. And ultimately to take and give his life for us. Help us, God, never to grow tired of this story, never to be take it for granted, Holy God. Let us grow more and more in awe of what you have done for us And help that be an example for us, Holy God, as we continue our journey throughout this life. Let us see the humbleness in your Son. Let us see the love and the passion for the people that he worked with, Holy God. And again, let us have that same passion and love as we go through this life. Thank you so much, God, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the family, God, that you've allowed us to come together here and online, Holy God. Thank you for all these things, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right. Any announcements? I don't have a whole lot today. If not, Kevin, you've got a short video you want to show us.